On this day is church.
Yes.
Good morning.
Morning.
Pray with me. I couldn't do the Japanese. I'm sorry. I didn't have it.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Bonjour. Okay. All right. They stop it. God, as we come to you in this moment, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Wherever you go, wherever you go is the title of our message today. A person who moves regularly in order to find work, especially in harvesting crops. A person who comes to a country to take up permanent residence. A person who flees to a foreign country or power from a foreign country or power to escape danger or persecution. You and I have heard those words in one phrase, in one word, in one way or another in the past few weeks, in the past few months. Because those words I've read off to you describe the word of a migrant, an immigrant, and a refugee. And indeed, as we look across our world today, in particular as we look to our southern borders, my Lord, as a group of folks are traveling from Honduras up and through Guatemala and into Mexico, they fall into the category of each and every one of those words. Migrant, immigrant, refugee. And why do they go? Why do they go? They go to seek a better life. They are leaving a place where they are abused and misused. They are leaving a place where the government will not stand up for their rights, for the fairness, for justice, for peace, for godliness. They are leaving a place where they know that if they remain, their lives are in danger. And yet, for the journey they make, their lives are still in danger. As they travel from Honduras to Guatemala, they have no idea what to expect, what to imagine, or what they will experience. But they go anyway. Where you go, others are following. Even as they enter Mexico, they do not know what to expect. Some have been abused already. Some have been scorned already. And yet, they still go. And then there is us. There is us, the United States of America, who are getting ready to send armies to the border as if these folks coming and seeking asylum, seeking respite, seeking peace, are coming here to bring harm to us. And yet we are still offering words of spewing words of venomous disdain. That these who are seeking to go someplace where they might find security, someplace where they might find peace, someplace that they might find have mercy, love. And yet, what are the words that come from our leadership? What are the things that are said from the powers that be when we talk about those who are migrating, those who are immigrating, those who are fleeing? We are saying, you're not welcome. We're saying, don't come to us. I have a question to ask you. If you are Native American, if you are Native American, would you stand? One. Two. Three. All of the rest of us are immigrants. Yes! All of the rest of us are immigrants. And we ought to be standing loud and proud for those who are seeking the same reason we are here. The same purpose for which we call this place home. You see, I didn't pick the text today. Have mercy, I'm glad I didn't. But God knew today that we needed this text for all of us today. The Lord knew that we needed to talk about this thing called immigration, this thing called refugee asylum, this thing called migrant. Because in our world today, in these United States, more importantly, we are not living out Christ. We are not living out God. We are living out our sense of greed and protectionism. We are living out our sense of selfishness and our own sense of piety. We're not living in the world that God calls us to do. For indeed, God says to love your neighbor as yourself. And by the way, that neighbor is not just your neighbor in the pew. That neighbor is not just that neighbor that lives next door to you at your house. That neighbor is not the neighbor that lives in another state. That neighbor is the neighbor that lives in another nation, in another land, who are struggling to get free. Amen. Who are struggling to be free from abuse and neglect. Yes. Ruth. The book of Ruth tells a story. A story of famine and despair. A story where Naomi and her family are leaving Judah because there's famine in the land. And in this sense of famine, they are migrate, have mercy, they migrate to Moab. They migrate to Moab because in living in Judah, they knew the danger of not having enough food. They knew that they might starve and not be able to survive. And so they migrate to Moab. And in the context of living in Moab, they would take husbands for their daughters, would take husbands from Moabite men. A different culture, a different country. They would migrate there and they would take on husbands because they were leaving a land where there was no food that they could have. They would take these husbands, and the scripture tells us that they would live there for about 10 years. But in the context of being there 10 years, Naomi's husband would die. But not only would Naomi's husband die, but shortly at the end of that 10 years, both sons would die. And in the context of their sons dying, Ruth had become, as her sister Oprah had become, very connected. Pastor Opisel, can you do me a favor? Can you come up here? Yes. I don't feel right. It don't feel right to me. Come on, join me up here. Yeah, bring the bulletin because I may get lost. And so in this movement, Oprah and Ruth would become so connected with Naomi. And so Naomi would do what is right by them. Out of compassion, out of love, out of knowing that she, based on the culture and the heritage, she could provide nothing else for them. Because her sons were dead. In fact, one writer tells me that actually what she did was far more than you could ever imagine, because by telling them to go away, She was also saying the legacy of her sons were gone. Because in that culture, in that day, if she had remarried, if the children, if the daughters had remarried into the family, somehow the legacy of her boys, her sons who had died, would still be alive in the family, in the culture. So she was giving up far more, far more. And she would tell them to go back to their families where they could most likely remarry, where they could most likely pick back up, where they would most likely still be fed, because the famine was still going on in Judah. But she was now going to go back home. She was going to immigrate back to where she had come from. She had been in Moab for this period of time, but it was time for her to immigrate back to when she had been. But Ruth, Ruth and her love and affection and her understanding of who Naomi was and what Naomi meant to her and how Naomi had connected her to God. She would say, "Don't ask me to do this. Don't ask me to leave you. Don't ask me to go back. Not because I don't love my people, I want to imagine. Not because I got a problem going back, but because I have such a love for God, I will go where you go. Your God will be my God. And because your God will be my God, I will sleep where you sleep. My room, my house will be your house. Your family will be my family. I am so connected with you and to God. Have mercy, Jesus, that I cannot walk away. I cannot go back. Like you, Amber, who made a commitment today to say, my God, my family's God will be my God, and I will not leave. Like Lisbeth, who said today, my family who have brought me and raised me, my relatives who brought me and raised me, my God shall be your God. How you pray, I will pray. When you sing, I will sing. When you shout, I will shout. And hallelujah to the great God in heaven. But today, every day, you and I are going to be reminded. You and I are going to be reminded every day that there is a group of people that are leaving and trying to remove themselves from the violence and tyranny of their land. And we have a choice to make. Will we receive them in open arms as God calls us to receive each and every one of the children of God? Or will we join that throng of people who are saying, no way. And as for me, I'm joining the Lord. As for me, I am supportive of welcoming all of God's children to a place of peace and rest. For where God goes, I will go. Where God leads, I will lead. And I call you today that God is asking you and me to seek kindness at all times, to love justice, and to walk humbly with your God every day, from the moment you get up till the time you lie down at night. For indeed, you and I are bombarded with so much stuff in our day that can pull us away from walking with God at all times. So for you and for me, I ask you to go where God leads. Do as God desires. We know what the Lord requires of us. The world may not know. The politicians may not know. The haters may not know. But I want you to know today that those of us in this house know what the Lord requires of us. Do we not? We know. Close with this one word, Vote. Vote. Let your voice be heard. Let your power be known. This day, go where God invites you to go. And I invite you to vote. Amen.